This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06. It is the first day of November, which means we are just 4 days away from Election Day. Nice to have you here this morning. Coming up, we'll have former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, and we ask him if Donald Trump should lose on Tuesday and will no longer have the potential of a presidential pardon get-out-of-jail-free card. What's next on his legal dance card? And then we'll also talk about that hideous U.S. Supreme Court decision that allows the voter rolls to be purged in the state of Virginia just days before Election Day. I am telling you, folks, we are actually living through a constitutional crisis right now with these three Trump-appointed justices on the court. We'll talk to Jim Santel more about that. We'll talk to Mark Jacob about media coverage this week. I mean, there's a lot of serious stuff the media should be talking about. You had Donald Trump last night insinuating that Liz Cheney should face a firing squad. You had him, of course, not apologizing for a comedian at his rally that had jokes vetted and made disparaging remarks about Puerto Ricans. You had the Speaker of the House promising to get rid of the Affordable Care Act and kick tens of millions of people off their health insurance. And yet the media chose to focus on a remark by Joe Biden. So we'll talk to Mark about that. Dan Schumacher will talk to us about sports as well. Greg Bach is here. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here. And we also have, of course, Rob from Tigerton, who says, he said, scrolling for the right comment. Put it up on screen here. Where is he? There, Rob. Good morning from Tigerton. It's clear in 33, the wind chill. Is 29. 0.2 inch of rain yesterday. Had a meeting in Shawnee yesterday. Today I'm going to New London to campaign for Kristen Lyerly. This is the first time I've ever been involved in helping a campaign and meeting many wonderful people. We talked about it being COPD Awareness Month last segment, and he mentioned that his mom passed away from COPD, and he's been battling diabetes for 5 years. Rob, we hope you feel good. We thank you for volunteering on the campaign. If you've never volunteered on a campaign, and I want to believe that this is as much true for Republicans as Democrats, as volunteers, it's a wonderful experience. You get to meet all kinds of folks. Yeah. And step up your civic engagement. I highly encourage it, either in a party way or in some other civic way. You won't regret it. Here's Brittany Merlot now with Mr. Bach.
Please. I was just going to ask Rob, if you come across a name Charlie Bach on your packet when you're knocking on doors today, tell him his nephew Greg says hi.
Close circuit message to Charlie Bach in New London. You're going to get your doorbell rung today.
Whoa, that sounds not threatening.
I don't even mean that in a bad way. We are, as promised, about 50 degrees cooler than we were just 72 hours ago, Brittany. Welcome to November.
Yeah, seriously. I literally just took off my little winter jacket. I was wearing it early this morning. No joke. Pretty much the entire state is at or below freezing. If you're not, you're just a few degrees above it. And that's, of course, closer to Lake Michigan and further south. But up north yesterday, some snowfall accumulated. Our first actual recorded snowfall of the season. Wentworth picked up about 3.8 inches. And then all the way into Guile, they picked up 3 inches as well. Plus, those winds were whipping. Bayfield clocked a 59 mile per hour wind gust. So did Racine at 53 miles per hour. And Fond du Lac came in at 47 miles per hour. So those wind chills were frigid. But thankfully today, the winds have calmed. And they're going to stay calm today and tomorrow. We've got a ton of sunshine on tap both days. Highs today will be in the mid to upper 40s, so quite a difference. But by tomorrow, we will be in the low to mid 50s with a ton of sunshine. Overnight, though, Saturday night into Sunday, that rain starts to roll in again, and we've got another 1 to 2 inches targeting central Wisconsin and portions of southwest areas as well. This system looks to stay Sunday, Monday, and it doesn't leave until Tuesday afternoon, so a wet one ahead after a cold, crisp start.
So where do you stand on it being the day after Halloween, and this is National Deck the Halls Day, and let's see, Alicia puts up on YouTube. If you watch the John Ollers program, you'll understand the off-camera announcer reading this. Yes! Christmas is now! It's Christmas everywhere! Ho, ho, ho! No, no, Alicia, don't do it. I don't know. Brittany, where are you? Are the decorations going up?
Oh, absolutely not. See, my birthday is early December, so I refuse to put any of those decorations up until after my birthday. So we've got a ways to go.
I like that.
December what?
Second.
Yeah. All right. December babies are the best babies. That's all I'm going to say.
Yay. So you must be December. December what?
12th.
Oh, yes.
Oh, look at you guys. Now, those are both early enough. You actually got separate birthday parties, right? You got birthday presents and not just Christmas presents that were called birthday presents. Because I've got friends with birthdays one on the 24th and one on the 26th.
Oh.
And they have never been thrilled about that. But
that's a little close. I totally get that. Mine, they kind of rolled mine into Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's mean.
I know. It's always right after Thanksgiving.
Here's some leftover stuffing, dear. Happy birthday to you.
I got you some cranberry sauce to go. No, mine was perfect because I got the 6th is St. Nick's, the 12th is mine, Christmas is, so I get a perfect distribution of stuff.
Of stuff.
I love it.
Yeah. It's perfect. All right. Thanks, Brittany. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. And of course, you can join the show anytime at 855-75-CIVIC. You can call that number or text it. Use the Civic Media app to call or text us as well, 855-75-CIVIC. Again, dueling rallies in Milwaukee tonight from former President Donald Trump, who will be at the Fiserv Forum, and Vice President Kamala Harris, who will be at State Fair Park with, if you're younger than me, it's probably a who's who of musical talent that's going to be out there. Cardi B is going to be speaking, and then several other acts will be performing as well. So lots more attention on the state of Wisconsin from both campaigns today. One incidental note that might be lost in the shuffle of the news. Remember Kenneth Chesebro, or Chesebro? We always want to say Chesebro. Kenneth Chesebro, the Wisconsin attorney who really was the person who was the father of the fake elector scheme. And not in the way that Donald Trump says he was the father of IVF, which is just ick. No, Kenneth Chesebro actually was the father of the fake elector scheme. And that, of course, involved folks from Wisconsin, including somebody who is still on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. It included Senator Ron Johnson, who was aware of it and was very nearly a mule delivering fraudulent ballots to Mike Pence on January 6th. Had he gone along with it? Well, Kenneth Chesebro just had his law license suspended in New York over the fake electors plot. So even though there's a lot of frustration with the pace of the investigation into an attempted coup in the United States, little progress does get made bit by bit. The one thing that could stop that progress toward justice is if the people running the coup were actually to get enough votes on Tuesday. Not enough votes nationwide. There's not a prayer Donald Trump gets more votes nationwide than Kamala Harris, but the difference can be made in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, maybe a couple of other states, but these are the states that if they hold for Kamala Harris, then justice can continue to be done to shore up our elections from any future threats like what we saw in 2020. But again, it's up to Wisconsin voters who will be courted as never before over these next few days. We didn't really hit sports last hour, so let me mention a few things here. The Brewers have declined Wade Miley's option for 2025, so the left-handed pitcher is now a free agent. The Brewers said, we'd rather not pick up the $12 million, especially given that you just underwent Tommy John surgery in May after making only two starts in 2024. The Packers take their 6-2 record into Sunday's game at Lambeau Field with the 6-1 Detroit Lions, who lead the NFC North. Kickoff is at 3:25. The Packers then have a bye week. They'll play in Chicago next on November 17th. So now you really have something to look forward to, not this coming weekend, but the next weekend, the weekend after the election. It'll be the first weekend without any political ads, but it'll also be a weekend without Packer football. So make your plans accordingly. And again, you can hear this Sunday's Packers game against the Lions. Pregame starts at 1 o'clock on Civic Media stations, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls. The Badger football team plays tomorrow evening against Iowa. You can hear that on the Civic Media app, as well as Civic Media stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and in Richland Center. The Badger hockey team will be in action tonight at Notre Dame. Coverage starts at 5:30 on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Plenty of high school sports across the Civic Media radio network as well. The Milwaukee Bucks have now dropped to 1-4 on the season as the Grizzlies cruised to a win in Memphis, 122-99. Again, it's early. The Bucks won the season opener. Now they're on a four-game losing streak. Damian Lillard continues to struggle. He was 1-for-12 last night and missed all six of his three-point attempts. But again, it's early. And yet, I'm telling you this anyway. Next is a home-and-home series with the Cavaliers. The Bucks will host Cleveland tomorrow, and they will be at Cleveland on Monday. The Badger women's volleyball team, ranked 7th in the nation, goes up against Nebraska, ranked number 2 in the nation, tonight in Madison. The Badger men's hockey team, as I said, is at Notre Dame tonight. They're also at Notre Dame again tomorrow. And the Badger women's hockey team, ranked number 1 in the country, will be at St. Cloud State this weekend, putting their undefeated record on the line. Remember, you can sign up for our daily newsletter at Up North News. Just head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click on subscribe up in the top banner, and you'll see all kinds of stories there put together each morning by Christina Laurie. She notes that we're heading into Native American Heritage Month in November, along with all the other ones that I mentioned earlier today. She talks about America's first Native-owned distillery, which is the Copper Crow Distillery, which are run by members of the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. So there's that story in there. More about the 11 federally recognized tribes, each with their own distinct traditions and cultures here in Wisconsin. And an article on what all first-time voters need to know before Election Day if you're voting for the first time on Tuesday. Coming up next, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel will be joining us and telling us more about what's on Donald Trump's legal calendar if things don't go well for him on Tuesday. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this.
Friday morning on Up North News Radio 721, meaning it's time to visit with our friend, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, who hosts Amicus, a Law Review, Saturday mornings at 9 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Learn more at civicmedia.us. We've provided Mr. Santel with a new microphone, a new headphones, and a computer that I believe the technical term is craptastic. That's a problem that he's dealing with, but he sounds, in the words of Billy Crystal, you sound marvelous, Jim Santel.
And you know, it's the end product, the most important thing, right? Whether if your home computer is telling you it doesn't want to cooperate, well, that's another problem. That's its problem, right?
It's always the old axiom. If the broadcast engineer says it's coming out here just fine, it doesn't matter how you got there. We are getting into the home stretch here of an election that is in many ways going to be the start of a new chapter. There's going to be a new president or bringing back an old president, but either way, we're turning a new chapter here. And I want to start with the chapter of Kamala Harris winning, Donald Trump losing. And keeping in mind that he has managed to fool a great many people, because he didn't decide to run a second time until, I believe it was the day Jack Smith was named a special prosecutor, special counsel. And this has been a tremendous ruse to say, well, I'm a candidate for president. You can't prosecute me. And he has won delay after delay after delay. But Jim, come Tuesday, what's his dance card going to start looking like?
Right. The world begins to change a bit for Donald Trump, if indeed he loses, whether that's the most significant bad thing that may happen to him or not. But we know coming out of that New York case, remember, Pat, that this is the case involving hush money and Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen. Donald Trump found guilty. He is a convicted felon, 34 counts of violations of New York state law. And Judge Juan Merchan, bending over backwards, candidly, to provide this particular defendant with all sorts of scheduling accommodations, as you have just indicated, initially was going to sentence him on July 11th, remember that, right before the Republican convention, then push it off in September, and then more recently has said, and here's the date that Donald Trump is noting too, November 26th, right before Thanksgiving, Donald Trump, whether he is elected or not, is scheduled to be sentenced in a criminal court in Manhattan for those 34 counts of violations of New York state law. About a week after the election, about November 11th or so, Judge Juan Merchan is also going to determine whether or not that immunity ruling has any impact on the case going forward. Almost certainly he will say no relationship here. But November 26th, and so as we go into Thanksgiving, again, these things can always be pushed back, as we know all too well, but likely that Donald Trump, first former president in our history, will be sentenced for criminal conduct in a court of our United States of America. Stunning history. And that's the first one coming up. Everything else, nowhere near trial, nowhere near proceedings that are going to be resolving. And even the Juan Merchan matter going up on the Court of Appeals, that'll be after that. But a sentencing in late November is no small thing.
No, it's not. And it, again, because understandably, folks are thinking more about the economy and, you know, Donald's threats to democracy and things like that. But it doesn't get said nearly enough. This is a convicted felon.
Yes.
This is a criminal running for president. He broke the law, and the law and order crowd seems to be going along with it, just fine. And some of those cases are delayed in part because of, you know, Supreme Court justices that Trump appointed. And yes, of course, they struck down Roe v. Wade. And yes, of course, they've, done things like give Trump, this new swath of legal immunity that we can come back to here. But I want to touch on some other danger that this new court has brought, and that is a true danger to democracy out of the state of Virginia.
Yes.
Where I'm going to have you explain this 90-day window when you're not supposed to tinker with the voting rolls. And yet a few days ago, the U.S. Supreme Court told Virginia's Republican governor, oh, no, go ahead. You can purge the voter rolls. You can drop actual U.S. citizens, you know, because you think they just might maybe not be U.S. citizens. This is a constitutional train wreck, Jim.
It is. It is. And so what happens is Glenn Youngkin, who is the governor there, way back in August, signed an executive order basically trying to hasten, move forward more quickly. That's never a good thing inside government, right? Move forward more quickly. This purging of about 1,600 people, based upon...
Uh-oh. Let's see if Jim's connection gets better here. Or maybe it's mine. You know, Greg, I'll have to let me know. But while we wait for Jim's connection or mine to get restored, we'll say that the 1,600 people that he's talking about, these were not non-citizens. These, it's one
on
thing
you've got.
Oh, wait a minute. Did he come back in?
No. Oh, am I back?
Oh,
no.
Oh, there
oh
you
yeah.
Go.
Okay. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows?
We've been saying all week, Jim, all Halloween week, there's been goblins out there. They've been hitting Greg's computer. They've been hitting my computer. They've been doing the pre-recorded interviews that we talked to Gwen Walls last hour. That had to be heavily edited thanks to just whatever it is out there. So we lost you when you said that they had dropped 1,600 people. And so I was making the point here. These are not 1,600 proven to be non-citizens.
No, no.
It's just a broad net made up willy-nilly that captured all kinds of citizens in here as well.
That's exactly right. And so we've already got anecdotal support for the notion that that's the case. Beyond that, we had a lower judge that said, because this is so uncertain, the Biden administration, by the way, going in and saying, do not do this. A lower court judge says, yeah, it's just too uncertain. Supreme Court on Wednesday, here's the headline, permits Virginia to go ahead to purge about 1,600 people from the voter rolls. And of course, while it's provisional, meaning that the litigation goes forward, it does apply to the election happening next week. And so again, Virginia, not one of the seven so-called swing states, but still, this is 1,600 people who presumably, many of whom, some of whom, we don't know the number, that's the point, will not be able to vote next week in our major election here in the United States of America. And the Supreme Court, in an unsigned order, we've got 6-3, basically, unsigned order, no explanation. This is the shadow docket once again. Lets that go ahead and says, Virginia, go ahead, take their names off. They do not vote in Virginia on November 5th.
It's absolutely shameful. And while Virginia does have same-day registration, the whole goal of this voter suppression effort is that some voters will throw up their hands and say, well, then I'm just not even going to bother. And that's exactly the aim here. Hear more about this and much more from Jim Santel on Amicus Law Review, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Jim, thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
Had always a pleasure. We'll see you again next week. We'll see what happens, right?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll have a few things to talk about, no doubt. All right. Mark Jacob is coming up next on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
In honor of the late Ronald Bell of Kool and the Gang, who was born this day in 1951. The fog may be thicker where you are, it may be non-existent where you are, but here just off Lake Wissota, it's a very thin layer of fog hanging above the alfalfa field here, going along very nicely with the pink sunrise and blue skies, just a very pretty morning out here in Chippewa Falls. And a reminder, as I gaze upon said alfalfa field, you can catch the full Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke weekday mornings starting at 5 on Civic Media stations in Hayward, Oshkosh, Amory, and Richland Center. Head to civicmedia.us for more. Mark Jacob is going to join us next here, and you can get his newsletter at stopthepresses.news. But I'm going to, with all apologies, tell you that this segment is going to be garbage because you've got Donald Trump referring to America as a garbage can, a Trump comedian talking about Puerto Rico being a floating island of garbage, Joe Biden saying that that remark was garbage, the press taking it to mean he's calling all Trump supporters garbage, and now Trump supporters wearing garbage bags as Donald Trump drives a garbage truck in the Michael Dukakis moment of the campaign. Mark, I don't know how much more trashy we could make this final week of the campaign, but I guess it seems appropriate.
Yeah, well, I think everyone would rather talk about anything other than issues, especially
it seems,
on the right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that this while all that kind of silly garbage stuff was happening, although, I mean, it's totally wrong for that Trump comedian guy to, like, trash an entire island full of American citizens, you know, and it's sloppy for Joe Biden to speak in a sloppy manner, which, you know, it's why he's not running for president right now, frankly. So, you know, that's all. I mean, I'm not saying it's not news. I'm saying that it's bigger news when the sitting Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, announces that he and Trump are going to repeal Obamacare, you know, mere days after Trump said, no, I'm not going to do anything with Obamacare, you know, which is so that matters more to real people, doesn't it?
It does, and it should, and yet it was the Biden garbage remark that was, you know, top of page one the mentioning of getting rid of health insurance for millions of people didn't make the front page at all, along with plenty of other things. I've stopped trying to understand what it is that causes some editors to put things on page one, bury other things, not cover anything at all. Because it's hard to know where their priorities are in terms of what is news, in terms of what you can use as a citizen, and news that gets you to be loyal to their brand of newspaper or whatever.
There's a guy at the New Republic named Greg Sargent. He used to work at the Washington Post. Mm-hmm. He had a great thread on Twitter yesterday where he explained that, you know, how what's really happening is that the mainstream media are letting bad actors, bad faith actors on the right determine their news judgment, because they even said it in the story that, you know, that the Trump campaign has made this a big issue. Well, all right. So the Trump camp is, of course, is going to make it a big issue, you know, and that doesn't mean that the Washington Post and the New York Times have to, but they do. And they played it like, you know, like it was a giant story, and it wasn't. You know, he's not running for president. She is. And when you look at Kamala Harris's campaign, I mean, it's been very positive. I mean, considering the fact that she's running against a guy who says he wants to be a dictator, it's amazing how much she's been able to project a positive future looking image. I'm impressed by it, frankly.
Well, the thing is, because she has what's called message discipline.
Right.
You've got reporters saying, oh, she just gives the same speech every right, time. Right. Yeah, that's because plenty of other people are only hearing it for the first time. Right. That should free up the members of the press to say, okay, we know what the stump speech is going to sound like. Let's dive deeper. Let's get into this issue. Let's get into that issue. But instead, they go over to see Donald Trump saying Liz Cheney ought to face, you know, basically, you know, a firing squad or be put in a war zone. Right. All of the other disgusting things that he said, and that enables him to drive a news cycle. Lost in it is, as we heard from Jim Santel in our last segment, that this is a convicted felon who's going to be facing sentencing later this month, and nobody even knows that.
Right. The term convicted felon hasn't appeared nearly enough times in both the press and in social media. I mean, it's unprecedented in American history that people are even considering voting for a major party candidate who's a convicted felon, but you just don't hear it much. It's kind of nuts. And you're totally right that if somebody's giving the same stump speech, and she is generally, and that's great. I mean, that's as you say, message discipline. And it's, you know, the speech itself has a lot of specifics about, you know, making billionaires pay more instead of middle class people pay more. I mean, it has specifics. But if she's not going to get into, you know, new crazy stuff, or, you know, talk about a dead golfer's private parts like Trump is, you know, then the press is, you know, bored. And it is a great opportunity for them to actually look at it. You know, Pat, there's one thing that's pretty new that she's come up with, which is having Medicare cover home health care for seniors, you know, that, you know, sometimes often when your elderly, you know, parent, you know, has to have somebody coming in once a day or once every few days for some reason or another, and having that get covered by Medicare. That, I mean, that's not only a new thing, but that is a really important thing to people. And something that, I mean, it's not this kind of nebulous issue that's a big deal in the Beltway, but doesn't matter to anyone else in the country. This matters to everyone all over the country.
And yet, the most substantive piece of policy proposed in this entire campaign, which, like you said, untold millions of people would get a positive benefit from this, and the media is letting it go. Here's what they are playing up: polling, and even the ones that are basically, you know, ginned up polling, you know, based out of, you know, Republican pollsters and things like that. Again, it's a rerun of 4 years ago, where it strikes me as a way for Trump and the Republicans to put up these polls that basically inflate Trump's support.
Right.
And then when Trump loses, they can cry foul.
That's totally what I think is going on here. I mean, it's because these polls are the right wing leaning polls are really they're just out of sync with the rest of the more legitimate nonpartisan polling. And I do think that that's what they're trying to do, that they are trying to say, well, Trump's got this in the bag, therefore, which he clearly doesn't. And then when he loses, I hope he loses, they'll say, well, seriously, this was out of, you know, this was all the polls showed he was winning. And then he got stolen at the last moment when they, you know, and that's what they want. And and so it's a tactic, and it's using, it's again using polling, you know, in a nefarious way. And that, and again, Pat, I'm not expecting the right wing, the Republicans, to be, to play fair or to be patriotic or to be legitimate in their, in when they purport to give us facts. I'm not expecting it anymore. Obviously we're not going to get that, but that doesn't mean that the regular legitimate, supposedly legitimate news media have to just run along with them. That's the thing that bothers me, is when you have these like polling aggregates who take, you know, like Real Clear Politics, for example, is a right wing, I think they're based in Chicago, a right wing polling outlet or polling aggregate outlet. But they're, I mean, they're not, you know, it's just a lot of junk polls are being pulled in for, with real polls. And again, I'm not worried about polls. I mean, are you worried about polls? I think I'm worried about the election, and I'm worried about the issues, and I'm worried about people thinking about what's important to them. And campaigns need to be, you know, knocking on doors and making calls and convincing their friends and neighbors. And that's not, has nothing to do with polls. Polls are just a amusement that the news media, unfortunately, buys into too much.
Yeah, very much so. Let me hit a couple of comments that have come in. Matt in Germantown texted in, didn't all the polls show Hillary was winning too? And agreed. And by the way, she did by like a couple million votes nationwide. Right. But again, a handful of votes in three key states. And that was a lot of people who probably told pollsters they were voting for Hillary. And then they got complacent on election day and didn't show up.
See, that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, the truth is it's not as much. I don't know that there are that many persuadables anymore. It's just who shows up. And you know, and these comments from, you know, like Trump saying that he doesn't care if women want him to, he's going to force them to, you know, and that these bully boy comments from the right are going to bring out women voters, I think, and men who care about women, including me.
Yeah, exactly. Text from Ann in Chippewa Falls. Doesn't the president have power over the Supreme Court, or does that only work for Trump? The current answer is that only works for Trump.
Yeah.
When we're talking about the Jack Smith investigation and things like that. And from Tom and Jackson, hi, Pat, what time are the ballots opened on Election Day? And I believe we're talking about the absentee ballots there. And again, to make clear, the absentee ballots in some states are processed the day before the election. Right. They're not counted, they're processed. It means you look at the envelopes, see if the signatures and the addresses are, you know, match what's in the voter roll, open up the envelopes, and then, you know, you can run them through the tabulator on Election Day. In Wisconsin, we could have had that. It had bipartisan support, but enough Republicans in the legislature blocked it that these ballots, absentee ballots, don't even start to be processed until after the polls open on Election Day, which leads to these late night vote totals because it takes so long to count the votes. And it gives Republicans, again, one more talking point, you know, a false one to say there must be some funny business out there.
Right. I mean, because they think that and it's been true in recent elections that Democrats, you know, vote early more often. So, isn't that really cynical? So they want to delay the processing of the vote, and therefore they can complain that there's something funny because the processing of the vote is delayed. I mean,
it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, of cynicism that they do. I want to take a second just to go back to the notion of newspapers not endorsing. We were talking last week about the LA Times, the owner saying, no, don't do that. The Washington Post, the owner Jeff Bezos saying, don't do that. Followed by a column that said, well, people don't trust the press anyway. Again, in the category of self-fulfilling prophecies here. Let's keep in mind that it's newspaper endorsements aren't necessarily about swaying your vote, but they are about making a statement. Because again, back to 2016, every major newspaper endorsement was for Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Obviously, she didn't win. It doesn't mean newspaper endorsements are irrelevant, Mark. But when you've got a public hungry for some kind of credible news source, newspaper editorials were at least one of those things where it's like, here's where we stand, but here it's based on facts. Well, and now we don't have that.
You knew that these newspaper people who had written these editorials were paying really close attention to the campaign and the issues. And so whether you wanted to follow their lead or not, at least you knew that they were speaking from an informed place. You know, I don't really think that newspaper editorials sway that much opinion at all. But that's not why this is so disturbing. The Los Angeles Times, Washington Post, and USA Today deciding to bug out of the endorsement business, to me, it's a scarier thing, because what it shows is these established institutions in our society who, you know, used to take stands on things are just folding to fascist intimidation. To me, it's one of those things where when you see an institution, and I think a lot of some of the religious leaders in our country have not done nearly enough to confront what's clearly a campaign of hate. And so when you see these big institutions just kind of stepping onto the sidelines and saying, well, we don't care, we're just worried about ourselves, that's a disturbing thing. You see that happens in the early days of attempted dictatorships, when a movement tries to overthrow a free country and establish a dictatorship, they start intimidating the big institutions, and sometimes those institutions fold, and that's what happened here.
And this is one that I think somewhere post Trump can get reestablished, but how much damage is done? Maybe we don't get a chance to do that if enough democratic norms are smashed along the way. And, you know, reporters are going to have a lot to cover in a second Trump term. I just don't know the extent to which the stories will be like, how come nobody told us that this could happen? You know, it's the meme with the guy in the hot dog costume. We're all trying to figure out who did this.
Right.
And it was a lot of media underreporting or misreporting that did.
Well, I just wondered whether you won't have any kind of look back, and you'll have a North Korean media or the Hungarian media, and you know, I'm really worried about it. I think that I don't know whether we can come back from this.
Exactly, and that's where Mark and Stephen Beschloss discussed 10 ways for political media to fix failures that were frequently and tragically evident in this election cycle. Head over to Media Misses or stopthepresses.news. Mark, thanks so much. We'll talk next week.
Talk to you next week.
All right, Dan Schumacher's coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This doesn't sound like the Grateful Dead.
Oh, but it is.
Oh, it is. Mexicali Blues.
There it is. Ding, 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 ding.
Wow. The stuff I learned from you guys.
This is from Working Man's Dead, which was kind of the album itself was more a lot like country.
Yes, it was. Great record.
I mean, so this is kind of like this is a Bob Weir tune that he was always a kind of a pseudo cowboy himself. So he wrote that. And so
now he's just trying to look like late. He's trying to look like late stage Jerry. Now that's his goal in life.
And Phil passed away last week.
Yep.
I still haven't been able to find out if he passed, you know, he passed away, you know, sick. Was he not sick? There's been nothing that's leaked out about him.
And some folks are like that. They want to keep all the details private and just live in the love.
He's also 84.
He might have died of being 84. That's true. Correct. That is always a possibility. Is that why you're growing your hair out? Are you trying to go late stage Jerry on us as well over here? Or are you trying to get the Greg Bach look going?
Weeks, Pat. I was home for the benefit last weekend that we were all at, but that's about it. And I didn't get time to go to the barber downtown Chippewa. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to come back next Friday. I'm going to get a haircut.
There you go. All of them. You got a hockey opener this weekend for Northland
College?
Yes,
big day. Big night up in Ashland at the Civic Center. We open up hockey against Lawrence University out of Appleton. And looking forward to seeing what the men's hockey team looks like this year. They were very competitive last year. We did lose a few players in the spring due to the struggles we were going through as an institution. But I think Shane is very happy with the replacements and the recruiting class he brought in. And so I'm anxious to see some hockey, a little change of pace. It's the crossover time where volleyballs, soccers are ending their season while hockeys and basketballs are starting their seasons, what you call crossover.
Yes. And I'll tell you what, the when you talk about hockey, I think of the Badger women, I believe, are 10-0 to start the season. Whereas the Badger men, I do not think they were expecting to start 1-5. Not an auspicious way to begin the season. Basketball season is underway. The Bucks are starting 1-4. So that, some teams aren't charging out of the gate strong, shall we say.
Heck, even the men's Badger basketball team, they had a close one against River Falls.
I know, a close one against River Falls.
That's an annual game. You know, Coach Gard is a product of UW-Platteville, mm-hmm. and he's a Division III guy. His brother is the head basketball coach at Platteville right now, and he does that cancer game. And so the game, all the proceeds from the Wyack school, Eau Claire, Whitewater, River Falls, against the Badgers at and they raised money for cancer for the Gard Foundation for in the honor of Greg Gard's dad. So it's a good thing, but boy, River Falls, you know, kind of exposed them a little bit. I watched a little bit of the game. Yeah. So
Badgers are at Iowa for football, pregame at 4:30 on Civic Media. You can hear it on the Civic Media app. It's a 6:30 kickoff. NBC's got the game on TV, and I believe bowl bids might be at stake for both of these teams, the Badgers and Iowa. I haven't followed it as closely, but again, that should be a pretty good game.
It should be. I think it's a milestone game for Ferentz, the coach at Iowa. I think it would be win number 500 or something, or 300 or something. I read it was a short blurb on the news.
Okay.
But he could set the all-time record at Iowa as a head coach. So
got something to play for there. Yep. Packers and Detroit in a tilt of NFC North top
kitty,
teams.
Kitty.
Pre-game at 1:00, kickoff 3:25. Since
what's happening?
Why is he a kitty? It's Dan rooting for the Lions because, you know, the Bears are going to Arizona this weekend. The Bears are 4-3. The Cardinals are 4-4. So, you know,
what are the Lions?
They're fighting for the Lions are 6-1. The Packers are 6-2.
Yeah,
I think the Lions are the best 6-1 team in the league right now. I think that they have just dominated on both sides of the ball and special teams. Not making stupid plays like the Bears did last week, you know, with giving a lineman on 4th-and-1.
I wondered when we were going to get to this. Were you watching live, and yes. What did you break? Did you break the phone?
I threw my hat. It was pretty gentle at that
for
time.
For folks that missed it, the Bears lost on a Hail Mary. And look, we've seen with, you know, when Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre were with the Packers, you see Hail Marys can work. They can work, but usually because of a defensive mistake, and the defensive mistakes by the Bears in the end zone for that were, I don't know who's having the worst week defensively, you guys or Yankees fans. About that collapse. I mean, this was not a week for defense. In sports, you know
what I think is ironic is the goofball DB who is waving to the crowd.
He's mugging for the crowd. Yep.
And then he realized something was going on. He looks back, and then he runs over to the scrum at the goal line.
Yep.
And he's the guy who jumped up in the air and tipped the ball to the other receiver.
And when he was supposed to be covering that guy, it was just a masterclass in how not to do it. Much like the Yankees first baseman, masterclass in how not to him and the pitcher how not to cover first base. It was just a bonehead week.
Well,
that's for
you. I don't know which was stupider, that play or the two series before where they give the ball to a backup center who come in the fullback position on 4th-and-goal and tried to hand the ball off to him to get in the end zone, and he completely fumbles the ball.
Yeah.
It's not like it's the fridge. You know,
I don't want to forget. Jill and Madison texted in to remind us. Badger women's volleyball.
Oh yeah.
Big match tonight. The Badger women are 7th in the country. Nebraska's number 2 in the country. They are both powerhouses. That's going to be at the Fieldhouse tonight. That's going to be a huge match. So you got things to see in Madison. You got things to see in Milwaukee with the Trump rally, the Harris rally. You've got Lambeau Field this weekend. It's just going to be a crazy weekend. Dan, enjoy the weekend, the hockey opener, and then you'll be our island of sanity after the election on Tuesday. Have a good weekend.
Okay,
Mr. B. Yeah, that's a stretch.
No.
You are a respite. We appreciate it. Greg Bach is back in 2 hours for Matt and Air on Air. I will be broadcasting from Civic Media HQ in Madison on Tuesday and Wednesday, and co-anchoring election night coverage on Tuesday night. Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for joining us for Up North News Radio. Catch more at upnorthnewswi.com. We'll see you Monday morning up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.